All right, good morning. So again, like I mentioned before, Dion and his family are still out of town this weekend, and so I'll be speaking this morning, and like I said, I think they'll be getting back this afternoon, so just continue to be in prayer for them. Sounds like a cool opportunity for Dion speaking out there. But since he's gone, I'm going to pick up kind of where he left off. So we've kind of been in the middle of the series over the last month, 4 or 5 weeks. And the series we've been in is based on this book by Michael Frost called Surprising the World, The 5 Habits of Highly Missional People. And so that's what we've been focusing on. And Frost, the author of this book, uses an acronym of BELLS, B-E-L-L-S. And he says that this acronym is used to describe the way that we accomplish this goal of being missional people, of being people who live and walk the life of Jesus. And so we started a few weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, we started with B, and the B stands for bless. And so bless meaning the rhythm of being in the rhythm of generosity. And so Dion challenged us to bless other people since that point up until now. The next week after that, we moved into E, and E stands for eat, or the rhythm of hospitality. And so again, we were challenged to eat together, and we shared a potluck meal together that week. And then last week, Dion spoke on the first L, which is to listen. And so this was the rhythm of being led by the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And so now we're moving into the next L, which stands for learn, or the rhythm of living like Jesus. I think that learning has always been a part of the rhythm of people of God. I think it's been something that God has always called his people to do, to pay attention and to learn. And so often it becomes enmeshed also with this pattern of forgetting. And so we have this pattern of learning and following and then forgetting and wandering. And it becomes this pattern that God's people historically have always been stuck in. And so today is really this challenge to learn and live the life of Jesus and to make this a new habit. Again, God has always called his people to this rhythm of learning his way of life, learning a new way of life for us. All the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see in Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Again, there's this learn and know it and live it. And there's this call from God for us to be people that are learning and living his way. Speaking of learning, our son Beckham is kind of at this really cool stage right now where he's learning a lot of really cool things and a lot in a very short period of time. So much so that half the time we're not even sure where he picks it up. I don't think all of it's from us, but it comes from somewhere. And it's amazing because while he's 100% an individual, we also see that he does things kind of like we do sometimes. And so he says things like we do, and he laughs at things like we do. He gives facial expressions like we do. He even tries to talk to Siri like we do. He does all of these things that we do. And so for better or worse, he's learning to become similar to us, but at the same time, while he's becoming similar to us, he is still only himself. And so this topic then of learning to live like Jesus, it's an interesting one to me because I think at first glance, when we think about this topic of learning to live like Jesus, we think, isn't that kind of what we are doing here already? This is what we do every week. We come here and we worship and we learn to live like Jesus. And I think that it is, and I think that we strive always to follow, and I think that we want to live a life in the way of Christ, to learn to be like Christ, and at the same time be 100% unique. And I think that that's what the body of Christ is about. That yes, we all have our own gifts and talents and we're ourselves, but we also have this commonality that is in Christ and the way of Jesus. But learning to live like Jesus is more than a discipline. It is a discipline, but it's also about this rhythm. And that's what we've been speaking about over the last month, of getting into this rhythm of being missional people. And that's what it's like to be living the life of Jesus. It's about who we are. It's about discipleship. We're called to follow Christ. And so Jesus came to call us, and he came to call us to save us and to call us to a new way of life. He wasn't just starting another religion. Frost notes that the purpose of the church today is to know and emulate and follow Christ. And without it, he asks them, what are we doing? If we're not doing these things, then what are we doing? What's our purpose? Because we're to be the body of Christ and look and act and talk and be Christ to the world around us. Ephesians really talks a lot about the role of the body of Christ and what we're to be doing and who we are as a people. And it gives this impression of imitation, that we imitate who Christ is. We imitate the things that are important to Christ and things that he did in his life. We're to be disciples. We're to be representations of Christ in the world. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. 4:25-5:2. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, don't sin, and don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. I think that so often we become used to this idea of Jesus and his teachings. Our society, which is slowly becoming post-Christian, still recognizes Jesus more than any other. And so it's difficult for us who have grown up in that to really get a fresh look, because it's something that we've always been around in one way or another. A couple of weeks ago, Bill Johnson read the Sermon on the Mount, and I think that that's a prime example of what we're talking about, because the Sermon on the Mount is so upside down from the world then and from our world today, but I think we sometimes miss that. And why? Just because we've heard it so often. And I think that sometimes we struggle learning it as if it were new and fresh every time. We need a new look on Jesus. We need a fresh take. As the church or the bride of Christ, maybe we've even become kind of like an old married couple, and we've gotten used to it and we've kind of become bored with him. And I don't think we'd ever say that. But it becomes something that we do it. Week to week, we come here. Week to week, we do things that we know we're to do, but are we truly falling in love with Jesus over again? And I think that that can become dangerous if we've become just used to it and bored with it. And so the question is, how do we save this marriage? And I think that, honestly, there are several ways to do it, and Frost specifically notes three that we'll kind of look at a little bit today. Michael Frost says in the book that there's three ways we can do this. He says, study the Gospels, read about Jesus in other books and articles and readings and just other things that others have written about who Jesus is. And he says also even watching videos about the life of Jesus, watching movies. There's a lot of them out there. And he actually provides a list in his book, if anybody's interested, of videos of books that might be helpful. And I think that these are all really great ideas that we're going to look at again here in a little bit. But I think that our new, fresh look at Jesus begins with a new, fresh look at Scripture. I have this video that I'm going to show here in a second that I think beautifully describes what it looks like for us to re-engage Scripture. And it's by N.T. Wright, who's a New Testament theologian. In this section that we're going to watch, he doesn't specifically talk about Jesus and the Gospels, but it's a really nice intro video, and I think it will all tie together. I've shown this video to the teens years ago, not recently, but I think it really makes a difference in how we view Scripture and ultimately our reading of the life of Christ through the Gospels and seeing what he's doing in there. So let's watch this video. Maybe.
Testament is Hebrew, so of course you read it from the right to the left, and the New Testament is in Greek, so you read, that probably wasn't what you meant. what did you mean?
How do we read the Bible? Any thoughts, any recommendations?
A thousand things. Frequently and thoroughly is the best answer. The Bible was not primarily written in order to be read in 10-verse chunks. We have cut the Bible down to size. Now, obviously, there are some bits, like the Psalms, and like some passages, like the book of James, is written in very short bursts. But most of it, including Paul's letters, and certainly the Gospels, and certainly great books like Isaiah and so on, are read in order to be experienced the way you experience a symphony. Imagine if you went to a concert and you got the first 10 bars of Beethoven 5, and then the conductor turned around and said, okay, that's all for this week, come back same time next week and we'll have the next 10 bars. You think, well, hey, this is... And if somebody said, oh, but if you listen to the whole thing, you'd never remember it all, you think, well, that's not the point. You don't listen to it in order to remember. You will remember quite a lot of it. You listen to it in order to be swept along in the full flow and sweep and flood of it. And I grieve over the fact that there are many, many Christians who have never, ever read one of the Gospels or even one of the Epistles straight through at a sitting. John's Gospel, even slowly, will take you 2 hours. Now, if you were really engrossed in a novel, you'd read that for that long quite easily. Why not just allow the thing to wash over you? Of course, then there's all the time in the world to go back and say, I really now want to do a study on John chapter 13 or whatever it is and go down into the details of the words. But see the parts in the light of the whole, and that means the whole Bible, and one could talk all evening about, you know, all the different things that happen when you see, say, the whole of Genesis and Exodus as one single narrative, and how that actually works from the beginning to the end, the whole of the Pentateuch, the whole, as I said before, the book of Isaiah, or the way that the Psalms fit together into their whole book, and so on and so on. And my favorite, really, where I started was Romans, that most people read Romans in little bits. And even those who think they know Romans reasonably well, they tend to know bits of Romans 1, 2, and 3, then little bits of 5, 6, 7, and 8, and then they worry about 9 to 11, and there's some interesting stuff at the back. But instead, see Romans as a symphony in 4 movements. Think how the themes work. Until we wrestle with Scripture like that, we're really not honoring it. You know, if this is the book God meant us to have by the Spirit, then it's important that we actually take that seriously, instead of just snipping it down to make it digestible, like somebody with a huge banquet in front of them who insists on going to the back room and just making a peanut butter sandwich instead.
Isn't it hard to sell it and market it in bigger chunks, though?
I don't know whether it's harder to sell it or market it. I sometimes think people are excited by the challenge, actually, especially young people. You know, if you say to a young person, oh, maybe you'd like to read a few verses of the Bible now and again, it's like sort of ho-hum, oh, well, maybe I might. But if you say, hey, there's this world out there, come on, dive in, get into it, swim around, then maybe they'll take it seriously. Of course, they may need some help, because some of it they won't understand, and they need to know that that's okay. The first time I read one of the longer books of the Bible through, I was 13 or 14 years old, and I sat down one day and read through the book of Revelation. I didn't have a clue what most of it was about, but I had this sense of this powerful, extraordinary thing, this sweep of images. And I remember that day, even though it was nearly 50 years ago, a very vivid experience. The church from quite early on chopped it up in order to read the Bible in the liturgy, and that's absolutely fair enough. Most of us can't actually, when we're doing liturgy and doing worship in church, we can't actually have a service that goes on for 5 or 6 hours. We might like to. The Eastern Orthodox often do that. And some of the African churches, once you've got yourself to church on a Sunday, you want to be there for at least 3 hours because you've probably come a long way and it's exciting. But actually, in some of the early manuscripts, there are little marks indicating that from quite early on, the church did divide scripture up into lectionary portions for reading in public worship. But the thing then we have to remember is this. If I have a room in my house which has a small window, if I stand back from it, I may only see a little bit of the countryside outside. If I press my nose up against that small window, I can see this whole sweep of countryside around. Now, when we read 10 verses of John or Romans or Isaiah or whatever it is, the temptation is only to think of those 10 verses. But actually, we ought to see this as a little window through which we see the whole thing. So in my tradition, in the Anglican Church, we say morning and evening prayer each day. There's an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading each time. And I've often said to people, what is basically going on in each service is that we're actually reading the whole Old Testament, but we're just reading it through the lens of these 15 and 20 verses. And we're reading the whole New Testament. We're thinking the whole New Testament, but we're just reading this particular bit because the service is an act of praise to God. And when you read scripture in public, it's not just informing the congregation what's going on, it's declaring the mighty acts of God, which is an act of praise and adoration and thanking God for what he's done. So we read, I say, a little bit of Romans, a little bit of John, whatever it is, but we're actually thinking of that whole sweep of the new covenant. And I find that helps me to reflect on what's actually going on when we're worshiping. So it is dangerous simply to feed people with these tiny little snippets, but if you're going to do it that way for liturgical sake or for your own private reading, if that's what you've got the time for, remember that actually you're reading the whole thing day by day, but you're just focusing on this little bit.
So N.T. Wright goes on later into the video and onto another video, and later speaks about Jesus and the Gospels, and he discusses the power of reading in such a way that we are really in the story, that we enter the Gospel, that we really get there, and we look around and we see who's there, and we see what's happening, we see what is Jesus doing in this Gospel, and we get that close that we're in the story with him, and so we are there, and it says, and he talks about how we can just picture him turning to us, and we imagine this. And then you can ask the question, what is it that he says to you when he turns to you? What are the questions that he asks you? What are the things that he asks of you? What are the things that he tells you? And again, what we're doing then is we're, like he describes, we're pressing our nose up against this glass, and we're really experiencing, and we're really learning in such a way that so many times I think we forget to be that deep into it. And he says that we shouldn't just reread the Gospels of Jesus just to cover things that maybe we've forgotten. But we can join the story and we can see the whole landscape of Scripture in this life of Jesus. And we see the life of Jesus, we can read those things, we can see the whole story from beginning to end just in who Jesus is. And I think that we're pretty comfortable with the Gospels, honestly. I think that we know them. I mean, in our tradition, we put a lot of emphasis on the New Testament and that personal time in Scripture and reading, and those are good things. And I think we emphasize that, and that's really good. But if we get to a place where we press in closer and we see the whole drama of Jesus and the movement of God and what he's doing, and even just each verse by verse, and we see what's going on here from beginning to end, then it changes things a lot for us. N.T. Wright also, in the other video, goes on to talk specifically about the way that we learn. And he kind of started getting there at the end of this one, but he talks specifically how we learn. He says that our reading isn't just meant for information gathering, that it in and of itself, that through our reading of Scripture, we are giving praise and glory and honor to God. And as we do that, then we really join the story in a brand new way every time. And by joining the story of God, we learn. And not only do we learn, but we're truly experiencing it. And we see Jesus in a new way, and we begin to follow his steps and the things that he does. And by doing that, it really changes us. But we also have the extra benefit of living in the time that we do today, because we also now have 2,000 years of other Christians' thoughts and study and research and wisdom. And so we can't discount that. Like I mentioned earlier, Frost also says that reading about Jesus and watching movies and videos about Jesus is a good practice. And I think that this is a really important piece of the puzzle that we can't forget. And I think a lot of times we do kind of discount that, but we can't forget this piece of the puzzle. It gives us a different perspective. It gives us an opportunity to see Jesus as a real person. It's easy, I think, for Jesus to become little more than words on a page, but to really be invited into this world of Jesus, to hear him and to see him and to feel him. And again, to be able to imagine Jesus turning to us and asking, what would he say to us? And I think that these are benefits that we get from other people's writings and movies that are made about him. I'm going to look at John chapter 13, verse 12 through 17. When Jesus had finished washing his disciples' feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "So you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." There's a lot to unpack in these just few verses, and that's not the point of today, to unpack it. But the point really today is to highlight the fact that Jesus sets this expectation for his disciples, that the way I treat you, the way I interact with you, the things that I do, and the way I live with you is how you should live as well. Jesus showed by example. He lived and he showed us how to live. He didn't just speak it, but he lived it, and he wants us to live and follow those footsteps. Because again, this is about transformation. We're trying to create new patterns. We're trying to create new rhythms. We're wanting to live missionally. And I think that step one of changing our current patterns is to recognize that there's something missing, to recognize that there's something not right in my step now, and can I get into this new rhythm of learning and living in step with Jesus? So I think taking this new perspective is key, to study Scripture in a new way, read books and articles and stories about Jesus, watching movies and videos focused on the life and the teaching of Jesus. So Dion has been giving, each week Dion has been giving us a new challenge. He's been challenging our habits and our rhythms. And the benefit of these, though, is that first we have to recognize that there's a problem with our current patterns. And the second, I think, is that we participate 100%. If we're doing this half-heartedly, I think we're missing the full benefit. We have to be in this 100% to do it. And so week one, if you remember, was the rhythm of generosity, and we were challenged to bless 3 people each week, and we're asked to continue to keep that up, blessing 3 people in different ways each week, in the church and out of the church. Week 2 was the rhythm of hospitality, and we were asked to eat with 3 people each week. Again, people in the church and out of the church. Last week was the rhythm of being led by the Spirit, and we were asked to choose one, at least one day each week, just to spend time listening to God, meditating with God, being there. And we pray and we speak to God, but at the same time, taking time just to be there and listen with him. And so this week is the rhythm of living like Jesus. And so the challenge is to spend time learning about and experiencing Jesus by, one, reading something in the Gospels weekly. And along with that, read in another book about Jesus or watch a movie or a short video about his life and teachings. And so being in the Gospels each week and then also either reading another book about Jesus or spending time watching something about him. And so this is the challenge. If this body can help you in any way in coming to know Jesus in a new way, then let us know, because this is a really good opportunity for us to do that here and now. Or maybe this is something that's new to you and you're just coming to know him. Maybe you're just coming to experience Jesus for the first time and you want to know more about him. Or maybe you're at a point where you want to be baptized into him. And also that's something that we would also love to do today. Whatever it is you need, this is a really good time to come and be surrounded by people who care and love you and be there to support you. So whatever you need, just let us know now as we come, we stand and sing together.